أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد مكناكم في الأرض وجعلنا لكم فيها معايش قليلا ما تشكرون ولقد خلقناكم ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس لم يكن من الساجدين قال ما منعك ألا تسجد إذ أمرتك قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين صدق الله العلي العظيم. First and foremost, I give my salams to all of you, dear brothers and sisters who are on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Then I give you the greetings of this blessed month of Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our du'as, all of our ibadah in this blessed month. The verses that I recited after my praise of Allah and salutations upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were verses 10, 11, and 12 of Surah Al-A'raf. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He alludes to some advice that first I give to myself, then I give to all of you. And that is about the creation of mankind and the, you say, the worth of this creation. As we know that mankind is the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He has stated. And in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He alludes to that. He starts off in verse 10, stating, وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشَ, that we have empowered you in the earth. مَكَّنَّاكُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has empowered mankind with two types of powers, as many of the Mufassirin, they allude to when giving commentary of this verse. One power is a physical power, physical strength, and the other is a spiritual power and spiritual strength. وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشَ, and we have provided for you in this earth, or we have created for you, sustenance, مَعَايِشَ. The sustenance, again, alludes to the two types of sustenance. Sustenance that we need to nourish our body, and there's a sustenance that we need to nourish our souls with. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, very few are thankful for this empowerment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to mankind. Very few are thankful for the nourishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to mankind, both the physical nourishment that we have through our food and drink, or the spiritual nourishment that we have through supplication, through the example of the Prophet and Imams. This blessed month, Ramadan, one of the advices that we can at least learn from this particular verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us this blessed and holy month of Ramadan, one to be thankful to Him for both of these nourishment, the empowerment that we gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the philosophy of fasting, that why we actually fast. As many have asked the Imams, Imam Sadiq alayhi wasallam, in particular, one hadith comes to mind where the Imam was asked, that, you know, what is the philosophy of fasting? And he mentioned that when one fasts, it humbles a person. And also by fasting, those individuals who maybe have wealth, those individuals who normally do not feel the pangs of hunger, they feel the pangs of hunger, and therefore they realize what other creations are going through, those who are less fortunate than themselves. So this is one of the philosophies of it. And this is also why at the end of Ramadan we give the fitr. We give the zakat al-fitr. And the zakat al-fitr is to be used to feed those who are hungry, those who are poor. Especially, we know that zakat al-fitr is only obligatory upon those who are able to pay it. So normally those individuals outside of Ramadan, they have enough wealth to pay the zakat al-fitr, and they're paying it so those who are less fortunate themselves can have it. Likewise, in this blessed month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened His doors of forgiveness, the doors of mercy are open, and we can actually say that the doors are wide open. They're so wide open, if someone missed the target and did not enter the door, then this individual is the most unfortunate individual. As the Prophet himself, he stated that the most unfortunate individual is that person who entered into this blessed month of Ramadan, and at the end of this blessed month, their sins were not forgiven. And that is a very weighty statement from the Prophet. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes it so easy for our sins to be forgiven in this blessed month. One, as we know, that our breathing, something that we do unconsciously, is considered ibadah, is considered the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He remembers us. He forgives us for our shortcomings. So breathing in this blessed month is dhikr, is a remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our sleep in this blessed month is ibadah. So while we're sleeping, we're still accumulating blessings. However, in order to maintain those blessings, then we must fast as we should fast. And fasting, in its reality, is not only abstaining from food and feeling the pangs of hunger, but fasting in its true essence is to have a very holistic fasting, whereby my tongue is fasting, that I am not speaking lies or backbiting or just engaged in fruitless conversation and talks. My eyes are fasting. I'm not looking at those things which I should not be looking at. My ears are fasting. I'm not listening to those things which I should not be listening to. My hands are fasting. I'm not touching or doing things that I should not be doing with my hands. Likewise, my feet. So in order to maintain those blessings, then we must be have the total fast. And that is giving true thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we live up to these things, fasting as we should fast, then we're being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the spiritual nourishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us in this blessed month. Likewise, if we are attentive and we become more aware of those who are less fortunate than ourselves in this world, then we also become thankful of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us. And inshallah, at the end of the month of Ramadan, we will pay the zakat al-fitr. But even beyond that, we will be aware of those who are less fortunate, and we will give sadaqah throughout the year, and not just simply wait for 1 month, for 1 day in a year. In verse 11 of Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states that He has created you, He has created mankind. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ And He has fashioned mankind. And after He has created mankind and fashioned mankind, this is when He told to those creations in the angelic realm to prostrate to Adam. Now there's a very interesting point about this creation of mankind. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He uses the plural, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ. Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam stated that mankind, or when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ, He says, He has created mankind in the loins of the Father. The loins, the back of the Father. And in particular, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's speaking about Adam and this verse that He has created mankind and all of mankind, according to some of the riwayat and the interpretation of some of the riwayat by some of the philosophers of Urfa, they state that the mankind, their souls, were in the back of Adam. And particularly the light of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, was in the back of Adam. And this is why the command came for everyone in the angelic realm, Iblis being one of those individuals in the angelic realm, to prostrate to Adam. And we have formed you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ. And according to Imam Sadiq, he states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has formed you, or fashioned you, fashioned mankind, with limbs and the very particular fashion or look, or the physique that the person would have in the womb of the mother. After the creation of mankind, the fashioning of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded His angels to prostrate to Adam. The reason for this prostration, I guess first and foremost, as all of the riwayat they indicate, and also the tafsir of our great scholars, they say the reason for this prostration is because Adam, He had this sign or the light of the Prophet Muhammad and his Ahl al-Bayt alayhim afasatu wasalam was visible on the forehead of Adam. And out of respect and out of what they call ta'zim, or exalting the state of Prophet, all of the beings in the angelic realm, they were prostrate to Adam. Some of the mufassirin who they look towards a more kind of esoteric understanding of this, they say that it is also quite possible, because of the potential that mankind, and this is talking about other than the Prophet and other than the Imams, because we know that they are ma'asum, but the potential that lies in mankind as a whole, that the angels also had to, or at least everyone in the angelic realm, they had to prostrate. Because it is such, as we know from many hadith from the Prophet, that an individual, if he or she purifies himself or herself, that they can become higher than that of angels. Their status will become higher than angels. However, if they succumb to their desire and their lowly selves, then they become worse than animals. So because of that potential that mankind possesses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned in the previous verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has empowered mankind in order to elevate his status. So because of that, then the angels and everyone who in it were, and everyone that was in the angelic realm, were to prostrate to Adam. فَسَجُدُوا illa Iblis. And everyone prostrated except for Iblis. He was not from among those who prostrated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he questioned Iblis that, why did you not prostrate? قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَنْ لَا تَسْجُدْ إِذْ أَمَرُتُكَ. Why did you not prostrate when I commanded you to do so? Iblis, he responded, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتُهُ مِنْ تِينٍ. Iblis responded by stating that, Allah, you created me from fire. This is a smokeless fire that the jinns are created from. And you created Adam, you created him from dirt, from clay. This verse teaches us something very, very important about our religion, about our interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how exactly we are to hone that power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. In this verse, Shaitan, he responds by making what we can say is a fallacious analogy, a faulty, fallacious analogy. And that is, he compared himself to Adam. He compared the apparent aspect of himself to the apparent aspect of Adam. And this is something that the Imams, they verify in the riwayat. He said that Shaitan, he looked at the apparent essence, his essence, which is made of a smokeless fire, and he compared it to clay, which Adam was made of. And of course, the thing which is going to be more luminous, if you compare the outward aspect of these two elements, is fire. It has more light. So Shaitan, or Iblis, he said that, I'm better than him. Imam Sadiq Ali Hafizahullah, he points to a very interesting, very important point here. He says that if Iblis had compared the true essence of his light to the true essence of the light of Adam, that internal power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Adam and has given to mankind, he says he would have seen that the light of Adam, the Nuraniyya of Adam, was much greater than his own. So this is one thing that we should learn from this verse, is that we should not make analogy or false analogy with regards to our religion. This does not mean that we don't use our intellect to understand religion, to understand, you know, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand the concept of prophethood, the concept of the hereafter, the concept of imamat. This doesn't mean that we don't use our intellect to even search for answers for some of the things that we do. That, okay, well, why do we make wudu? What is the purpose of wudu? We use our intellect, but we do not make false analogy which are based on assumptions rather than reality. And unfortunately, I think many people these days, they are making these false analogies. One of them that comes quite often, especially around this time, is about the issue of the moon. Oh, well, we should only rely on technology. We should not go out and look at the moon. Everything can be calculated. Now, there's a blessing in going to see the moon, to fulfill this responsibility. We don't have the time at this point to go through all of those blessings and the reason why it is important to go out to look for the moon. But unfortunately, a at the beginning of this Ramadan, and almost every Ramadan, this is one question that comes up. Well, we should just rely on the calculation. NASA has calculated when the moon is going to be born and when it can be seen. And that's it. We shouldn't go out and look. We need to be more sophisticated, and we just rely on the calculation. But when we do that, we will miss the blessings. Inshallah, perhaps in some later time, we will have a chance to discuss the blessings of fulfilling that duty. Nonetheless, the point is that we should not make these false analogies or false assumptions about our religion, but we should rely on that which is true. We should rely upon the true guidance and teachings of the Prophet and Ahl al-Bayt. This true guidance is also carried on by the scholars, by the ulama, by our maraji, who have spent years to understand the Quran, Hadith, and to provide for us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has provided. But the means through that provision is through the ulama at our time. That He has provided for you the means of guidance, the means of empowerment. That's one thing that we understand from this. Another very important point that we understand from these verses is that if we follow that empowerment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and we hone our spiritual power, then as Iblis, he was commanded to submit, basically prostrate. And prostration is a form of submission. It's an outward form of submission, which Iblis, he refused to do. But if we hone that spiritual essence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has empowered us with, then we will not be affected by the waswas or the whispers of Satan or Shaitan. And this concept or idea of Shaitan, as we understand from the guidance of the Prophet and Ahl al-Bayt, alayhi ma'afu salatu wasalam, is that every individual has a Shaitan. And Shaitan literally means someone, those individuals who are rebellious and who are misguiding and misleading others. And some of our Shaitan, yes, they're jinn, that they whisper in our ears, or they put different thoughts in our heads that we can't see. Some of our Shaitan are actually people who are around us, who are not positive influences on us, that they try to influence us to do things which are not correct. But if we hone that spiritual power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, then these whispers or these the pressure of Shaitan will not mislead us. And there are several very beautiful hadith or riwayat that address this. One of them is in one of the du'as of Arafat that we are to read, where and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wakhza shaytani, that O Allah, repel my shaitan. Repel all of those individuals, you know, whether they're from jinn or men. Because shayateen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He explains in the Quran, the shayateen, men al jinni wal ins. They are people who are misguiders, deceivers, among the men and jinn. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on Yawm Arafah, wakhza shaytani, that shaitan who knows my weaknesses, whatever that weakness may be, whether it may be a weakness for money, for food, for looking at things I shouldn't be looking at, for listening to things I should not listen to, for doing things that I should not be doing, whatever that weakness is, that Allah repel the shaitan so that the shaitan will not have influence over me. Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also stated, or actually made dua for one companion. Unfortunately, the companion at the time was somewhat rebellious at the time, and somewhat not always on the same page as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nonetheless, the Prophet made dua. It says, "Akhzallahu shaytanik," that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliate your shaitan. In other words, the Prophet made dua for this individual, that may Allah put your shaitan down. So this individual took it as smugglers says, and responded to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Wa anta akhzallahu shaytanik," may Allah also humiliate your shaitan. At that point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded, he says, "Don't say this, or don't say this like this. This is because I have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid me, to assist me. فَإِنِّي سَأَلْتُ اللَّهَ أَن يُعِينَنِي عَلَيْهِ." I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist me with that shaitan, because every individual, they have a shaitan. حَتَّى أَسْلَمَ, until that shaitan, or that jinn that was supposed to make waswas to the Prophet, he says, I asked Allah to assist me until he became Muslim. He submitted. And then the Prophet, he says, وَأَسْمُهُ أَبِصَرْ وَهُوَ فِي الْجِنَّةِ. So that jinn, the name of the jinn who was supposed to do waswas to the Prophet, his name was Abisar, and he's in paradise, as the Prophet says, because he submitted. And if we ourselves honed our spiritual energy, and this is the month to do it, and the month of Ramadan, this is a month in which, according to many of the scholars of Urfa, according to the hadith, that shaitan is locked away, he's locked away, that his power over us is less. And inshallah, if we fast as we should fast, a wholesome fast, then yes, this will be true. We will have more spiritual power in this month, but this is only the beginning of your spiritual journey. And it must continue beyond the month of Ramadan, of making the du'as as we make du'as, paying more attention to the Quran as perhaps we're paying more attention to the Quran in this holy month, paying more attention to our salat. So if we hone that, we too can make our shaitan submit to us, that we will not be deceived by his tricks, we will not be follow the waswas. And the secrets of that is in this blessed month of Ramadan, and also in these verses which I recited. One of the secrets in order to make your Satan, your shaitan, submit to you, one is to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 10, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, that very little, very seldom is mankind thankful for what we have empowered him with. So if we are thankful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has empowered us with, materially and spiritually, then this is the first step. Being materially thankful, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the materials that he's given us, the worldly things that he's given us, would lead us to give zakat and sadaqah. Fortunately, sometimes people do not give sadaqah. And there are people around us, and believe it or not, even in America, there are Muslims who are less fortunate than we may be, who are in need at times. But if we gave sadaqah, the sadaqah was properly distributed, then this is showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the material things that he has empowered us with. Paying attention to our salat, reading Quran, reading dua, making ziyarat when we can, making the hajj if we are able to, and focusing on our ibadah, taking when we make salat, we should not rush to salat. By doing these things, we are being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that spiritual empowerment that He's given us. So that's the first step of honing our spiritual essence to make our shaitan submit to us. The second thing which we must do in order to make our Satan submit to us, that is to not make qiyas, to not make false assumptions within our religion. That if I am not sure about something, then you refer back to those who know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states clearly in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Your first duty, you know, the verse as it's translated, ask those who know if you do not know. It's a conditional statement. And that conditional statement means that first and foremost, you have priority to go and to learn and to understand your religion. Yes, go do research. Read up on things. And if you do not know, you do not have the facts, then ask those who know. This is another thing that will safeguard us from Satan, and it will empower us to make our Shaitan submit to us. The third thing which, in the following verses, which we did not get a chance to read, which comes up, and this goes through a discussion of between Allah and Shaitan, the third thing, and Adam also at one point, the third thing which will empower us and give us the strength to make our Shaitan submit to us, that is Tawbah. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. This is the thing which, these are the tools that we have against Shaitan. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly being thankful, understanding these blessings that He's given us. Secondly, not making assumptions about our religion, because we will begin to make mistakes and we will go off the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third, to repent for those things which we have done wrong. And this is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts Tawbah, He accepts forgiveness. Inshallah, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts all of our ibadah, our worship. He forgives all of our shortcomings and our sins, and cleanses our slate, as the Prophet, He promised that if a person fasts as they should fast in this blessed month of Ramadan, meaning they're doing the total fast of eyes, ears, tongue, stomach, everything, that at the end of this month, on the blessed day of Eid, then person's slate is clean, that they are sinless at that point, just as if they, the day that they were born, that a little baby has no sins. And this is something that we definitely need to be thankful for. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such a blessing. And the true way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such a blessing is that from that day that our slate is clean on the day of Eid till the end of our lives, inshallah, that we do not falter, we do not sin, because our slate is clean. Why dirty it again? Try to maintain that cleanliness and that purity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises at the end of this blessed month of Ramadan. Inshallah, I'll in my discussion here and leave it open for questions and answers. Wa akhir da'wana wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Jake has a busy schedule, so we won't keep him too long. So if anyone has any questions regarding today's discussion, or any general questions, please do unmute yourself by pressing *6 and ask the Shaker question. And also, you can submit your question via email to buildingonewood@congress.org. Email us there, and we can then try to relay your question. While waiting for questions, for anyone who joined during today's discussion, please know these are recorded. They will also be audio. So inshallah, if you missed any part or you just like to go back and listen to this discussion again, inshallah, the video will be available in a couple of days, and also the audio as well on the iTunes store.
Questions can be general. It doesn't have to be particularly on this on the topic of discussion. So.
Yes. As Sheikh mentioned, if you have any even general questions pertaining to anything in Chennai, he can answer those as well.
Closing remarks would just be, as I stated earlier, inshallah, that hopefully, inshallah, we all take benefit from this blessed month of Ramadan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives all of our shortcomings, our sins, He has mercy upon our deceased, and inshallah, He hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman, Ajal Sharif. Make us among his helpers, his companions, and those who sacrifice their lives for him, inshallah, as the companions of Imam Hussein did, or the Imam of their times. That will be it, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, brother, for all your efforts of making this happen, and you know, making the other programs happen, so, inshallah. Allah give you reward for that.
Thank you again, Sheikh, for your efforts. You know, we contacted the Sheikh at the very last moment, basically, and alhamdulillah, he was able to give his efforts and did a great job today. Inshallah, we'll have him again in the future. Thank you to all the audience for taking part in today's discussion. Please do remember, as we mentioned in the beginning, this is because of the importance of this month. During the month of Ramadan, every Saturday, this will be a special self-putting discussion pertaining to this holy month. So please do join us next week at the same time regarding this holy month. We'll have more discussions. And please do invite your family and friends to join us. And again, if you missed any part of today's discussion or would like to hear it again, the video, inshallah, will be uploaded to MuslimCongress.tv within a few days. And also the audio should be available on the iTunes store under the self-building page. Please do take advantage of those, and inshallah, we'll see everyone next week. Thank you again, and salam.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.